You're listening to Campus Review Radio.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us, and welcome to the first Campus Review podcast of 2022. My name is Eleanor, and I'll be joining you this year to chat about all news and issues related to higher education. To kick things off, we're going to be tackling anonymous teacher evaluation surveys. New research from Southern Cross Uni is showing that students are using these surveys to target academics with abusive and defamatory comments, ranging from verbal insults to physical threats. Now, lead author of the study, Associate Professor Richard Lakeman, is saying that educators' mental health is suffering as a result of these surveys, with some even showing signs of PTSD and major anxiety. I spoke with Professor Lakeman last week about the new research. Listen ahead.
Your co-research has really unveiled the extent to which anonymous feedback surveys are kind of carriers of online abuse. And were you and your colleagues surprised at all by the nature of some of these comments that came from students?
Absolutely. I mean, we weren't surprised that there were non-constructive or offensive comments, because in part, that's why we undertook this research. We'd become aware that this was becoming really problematic, not just for ourselves personally, but for colleagues that we've encountered. However, the nature and the extent of the examples that were given were absolutely jaw-dropping. I think there was stunned silence when I read through some of the comments.
Well, these examples that you received ranged from insults of a physical appearance and went all the way to physical threats. If I can quote, one teacher said that she was told that she would be, quote, should be stabbed with a pitchfork. And, you know, online physical threats in any workplace would be dealt with very seriously. You know, what are universities doing about this?
We had an unusual response to this particular research study. I've been involved with doing research for many years, and this is the first occasion where I think I've had over 300 unsolicited emails, phone calls from people, etc. And it's probably through that post-publication feedback that I've received from other academics that I've gained some insight into what universities are doing or what they're not doing. And it appears that the processes are absolutely ubiquitous. So right across Australia, we encourage students, sometimes incentivize, sometimes compel students to rate their teachers very regularly and to make anonymous comments. Now, what's changed here is that what used to be a teacher-initiated activity even 10 years ago, that was, you know, fairly usual and often a paper and pen exercise where people actually delivered some feedback at strategic points over terms, now it has become highly institutionalized. It's all done online, and often at a time when students are particularly anxious, often before grades are released, and it's become part of people's performance review and promotion process. So that's the state of play at the present time. Of all that feedback I received, we received, all of it was highly complimentary, and people were stating that this has to change. We need to unveil those people that are really perpetuating hate speech, for want of a better word, but I think it's an accurate word. And people did outline some moves that they were making or considering in particular departments or particular universities to try and change these processes.
And do you think perhaps maybe removing that ability to be anonymous might kind of help kind of avoid some of these horrific comments being made?
Yeah, look, I think the anonymity is a big part of it. So, you know, going right back to the Stanford prison experiment in the, you know, 1960s and 70s, this idea about being anonymous and not connected to the individual that you are attempting to punish. That's known as de-individuation. And that is, we create the ideal conditions for that to take place through enabling absolute anonymity and impunity, so people can say whatever they might like to say. And they do so behind a veil of anonymity. So that, you know, and impunity, if you like. So these are the ideal conditions for a small number of people to project, state whatever they like in a very, very wounding way towards the teacher in particular, or their unit assessor, the administrator of the course, whomever they might blame for their anxiety and or predicament.
And we've seen recently places like here in Sydney, the University of New South Wales are attempting to publish this data online for students to see. What do you think about this?
Well, look, that's not really going to solve the problem if we're publishing this narrative feedback online. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of the feedback that, for want of a better word, it wasn't really feedback. It was quite scurrilous, accusatory, defamatory statements that had nothing to do with teaching at all. Publishing that online just provides another forum, I guess, for airing some, you know, comments and a process which is invalid. I mean, it's not about a person, the quality of their teaching. It's not about the quality of the teacher. It's not about the quality of assessments. You know, this narrative feedback is highly insulting, and defamatory, racist, misogynistic. You name it. It really is jaw-droppingly offensive, a lot of this material, and it's very impactful.
And I noticed reading your study, a lot of the comments made, especially about physical appearance, were targeted towards older female academics. And did you find any other groups were sort of targeted more in these anonymous feedback surveys?
Well, there were some clearly racist comments. And, you know, when we shared some of these comments on the conversation, some of the, you know, responses said, well, you know, that could be valid. So, you know, comments about people's accent, for instance. But these were followed up by our respondents who said, you know, I don't look, you know, stereotypically Australian, but I'm Australian born, bred, and I have an Australian accent. And yet, you know, comments were along the lines that they should speak more like an Australian. And, you know, those sort of comments, which absolutely got nothing to do with teaching quality, et cetera.
And I understand your team is now looking at kind of the physical and the mental impacts of this process of these surveys and what they're kind of doing to academics. And could you give us any sort of insights into what you were finding?
Well, there was a study done about 2010, which found that, you know, at one Australian university, which found that the number of these comments at the time and at that university was so few, you know, I think it was single figures, that the argument was made that we're not going to throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak. It does seem from our survey, you know, given that the large number of responses and how accessible this feedback was, or these comments were, that this has become a far more common problem. And in terms of impact, it's highly impactful. The fact that we only got people that were teaching, that hadn't left, they hadn't left, you know, the university environment, probably suggests that we have missed some of those kind of impacts. So after we released this study, you know, people did respond personally and say that, you know, they've known people that have quit their jobs, they have lost employment or not have contracts renewed, or that the nature of the teaching evaluations has meant that, you know, despite being very experienced and qualified, they haven't been able to go for promotion, you know, when you actually need to have a portfolio of highly positive student evaluations of teaching. So, you know, the impacts around existential issues, you know, that you can lose your livelihood, your job, creates a state of stress and anxiety. And for some people that have received highly malicious comments, death threats, highly misogynistic or racist comments, their state of anxiety is that becomes quite chronic. And so we, in our a further question that's currently and the paper's submitted for review around impact, really again looked at impacts that were around just being just stress, occupational stress generally. And they go all the way to clear-cut examples of disorder, if you like. And, you know, the way that we're conceptualizing it for some people is really around post-traumatic stress. So, you know, people are presenting with all of the constellation of symptoms that you might see with somebody who's been exposed to some sort of life-threatening trauma. Of course, we can't say that people have PTSD, but they're presenting with the sleep disturbance, the you know, loss of enjoyment, the depression, the emotional numbing. They report experiencing panic attacks when the cycle of teaching evaluations occurs. So for some people, this is highly traumatic. Some people have said that they will be leaving the profession because of this turn. You know, in relation to COVID, some interesting comments afterwards around, you know, issues like appearance, because we've all moved into a sort of online delivery mode by and large over the last year or two. And, you know, post-survey, people did respond and tell me that, interestingly, when they've moved online, that the kind of comments that people made about their appearance diminished somewhat. So that's a curious issue.
And how about the process of kind of going through these evaluations, you know, not once, but several times a year? You know, is this kind of the bulk of them having an impact on academics? Just the amount of surveys that are kind of being carried out through the semester?
Well, it is highly convenient, and I think that's why the survey approach has become massified and institutionalized. So, you know, where once, you know, teachers might strategically at different points, you know, during the teaching cycle, poll students about their experience, this has been taken right out of the teacher's hands now, and it's undertaken institutionally. So the institution benchmarks, I guess, the teacher, you know, against mean ratings. So, if you're not above average, you know, or you've hit in the lowest, you know, quintile in terms of evaluations, then, you know, you're often asked to explain yourself. We also found that these surveys or survey results were, by and large, not just shared with the teacher concerned, but other people in the university hierarchy. So it may be one thing for teachers to, you know, to see this, you know, this feedback and take it or leave it, but that's not how these are used. So they are, you know, collated. They're at least shared with people's supervisors, and in some instances, they're shared quite widely across the faculty, if not the entire university. So, you know, individual courses are compared in terms of satisfaction and success. That's just you know, now routine. So the impacts, it's ubiquitous. These are done every teaching term. Some universities, you know, still may only have two predominant teaching terms, but others have six terms. So essentially six times a year people can be potentially exposed to these surveys. And I'm not suggesting that they're entirely invalid, that there's not something useful that might be gleaned from them. However, there is nothing useful to be gained by exposing teaching staff to these kind of scurrilous, defamatory, accusatory, punishing comments.
And what impact do you think this has on intern students when you know the people who are educating them are kind of under this type of stress?
Well, we are exploring that too, and I really can't comment on the impacts on teaching quality, but the literature does suggest, and certainly our preliminary findings kind of do suggest this as well, that this does actually have a negative impact on teacher quality. When teachers are attempting to ingratiate themselves with students, then that is going to have an impact on the quality of the teaching and learning experience. The other thing which is really well noted is that your grade, your final grade, can have a huge influence on teacher evaluations. So in terms of the numerical ratings, that one grade point, elevation, where these are published, can lead to quite a significant increase in teacher evaluations. So, the whole process is invalid in that sense, in the sense that these processes can be easily manipulated. And the consequences of attempting to manipulate and to achieve higher ratings is that teaching and learning quality is diminished. There's a potential for grade inflation, and there's overall a corrosion of academic standards. You can actually just simply, and there's been an experiment on this, you can increase your student evaluations by giving out cookies on the day that that evaluations are due.
And for the teachers who, received very serious kind of defamatory and physical threats, do they feel comfortable about escalating them to the university?
Look, I'm sorry, Ellie, I didn't quite catch that.
Just for the teachers who wanted to kind of escalate some of the comments they were receiving. For example, maybe I think one said that a student threatened to hit her with their car. Do you think that they feel comfortable coming forward to the university with these sorts of comments?
The teachers themselves, the university will be, if they took an interest, would be aware of those comments. So that somebody shares these with the teacher concerned and others. So accessibility to those sort of narrative comments, there's usually a couple of steps between the provision, the collation of that data, which of course is easily done, and sharing it with the teacher concerned. And because they form part of essentially the performance review or performance review process for the academic, then I think people would feel very uncomfortable elevating these defamatory comments, for investigation. And why should it be down to the teacher concerned when clearly these, some of these comments are really, hate speech. There's no other euphemism around this. They're vitriolic. Why should they be the ones that need to complain about this?
And we're seeing even the government is cracking down on cyberbullying and online trolls. Do you think that we can see some significant changes in our educational institutions in terms of hate speech on these surveys? Is it possible?
Well, I hope there is some change, because it's not okay that people are exposed to these kind of comments at any time. So I understand there is some legislation on the agenda. I don't know how it will impact on the teaching and learning processes. But I do know that the research that we had and the publicity that we had around this on the conversation, which got 200,000 reads within 2 weeks, that shows that this is that people are really interested and concerned. So, I think at least some universities' processes will be reviewed.